Hello and welcome to another edition of the Tree City Sports Podcast. I am your host, as per usual, Andrew Baker, here with my co-host, as per usual, Graham Moen.
Wah, wah.
Yes, so the Browns season opener was a complete dud.
Yeah.
They didn't necessarily play that poorly, but they had 18 penalties and turned the ball over three times and gave up a safety.
I call that playing poorly.
I should rephrase. They didn't necessarily move the ball poorly.
Yeah, they actually outgained the Titans.
It was a disaster of a football game, especially in the fourth quarter. The Browns just completely collapsed.
Yeah.
There was an ejection. There was a safety. There was a missed extra point. There was a pick six. Yeah. What am I missing? What a disaster.
I mean, Baker Mayfield had a bruised hand. Kendall Lamb got hurt on the safety. So we were playing Bobby McRae, who had just signed with the team, out of position at right tackle, and then moved Chris Hubbard over to left tackle, and it did not go well.
You know what, kids? If you're not a great right tackle, you're not going to be a good left tackle. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
And guess what? The Titans are a solid football team. They're a disciplined football team. They're a physical football team, and they have a good defense. And if you let them, they will dominate you, and that's what happened.
They also have what the Browns don't have yet, and that's continuity, because they are all coming back from the same thing last year. Mike Vrabel was the coach last year. They had had the tone set. The offense, the coordinator changed, but the scheme was very similar and the verbiage was similar. So there really wasn't much of an adjustment for the Titans. They were really just coming into the year trying to make sure that they were trending in the right direction. The Browns, again, didn't have full people practicing until the week before the game.
So, yeah, and the Browns didn't play much in preseason, which a lot of people are now saying, like, oh, you should have played people more in preseason.
People are always going to say one thing. Yeah. If you play them too much, you're going to be like, you're risking them to get injured. And if you're playing them not enough, you're going to be like, well, they're not going to be ready. It's like, well, what do you want?
End of the day, continuity was obviously a major issue for the Browns, because anytime, like you said, you have a team like the Titans who has had, you know, the same coaching staff as last year and a lot of the same players and a lot of the same system, they're going to come in here a little more ready to play than the Browns.
And not to mention 18 penalties.
That I was going to say, it doesn't excuse 18 penalties. 18 penalties is not continuity. 18 penalties is mostly just discipline.
Yeah. The Browns were way too amped up going into that game, and it showed immediately. They were being completely undisciplined. They were hitting quarterbacks late when they didn't need to. They were shoving Mariota to the ground long after he'd thrown the ball. It was just kind of a disaster from the beginning. And the Browns were lucky just to be in that game at the end of the third quarter when it was 15-13.
That's the thing is, if the Browns would have just not completely collapsed in the fourth quarter, they would have had a really good chance to win the game.
I mean, a lot of that's Baker Mayfield. And I mean, we have to talk about Baker Mayfield, because he is the heartbeat, and the way this team goes is going to be how Baker goes. And he looked okay throughout the first part of the game.
I would say he had a good first three quarters.
He was okay. I don't know. I don't think he was good. I think he was like above average, because he was hitting targets. He was doing what he was doing in the structure of the offense, but and then part of it's his offensive line not being able to protect him, and that he was trying to do a lot of hero ball. But by the end of the game, Baker had completely gone back to, you know, done things that were completely out of the realm of normalcy for him, which was inaccurate passes. Two of the three interceptions he threw were bad passes that were not well placed, which is his thing.
I think the second half of this Titans game, or at least the fourth quarter, the only other time I've seen him play like this was the first half against the Texans last year.
Yeah.
And I think a couple of things. I think, first of all, the Texans have a really good secondary, one of the better secondaries in football.
And at the time, they also had Jadeveon Clowney, J.J. Watt, Whitney Mercilus, all these great pass rushers to, you know, keep him off structure and make him have to do all those plays and make him read the field. They also disguised a lot of coverages, which for him is still a concern at this point. He threw an interception where he was trying to throw an underneath ball and a cornerback just literally jumped it and grabbed the ball.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you have to give credit to the Titans because they have a great secondary.
They do.
They have one of the best in the league.
Yeah, Kevin Byard was really good.
And to beat them, you have to have a quarterback that plays really well. And I think Baker did play pretty well for a while. Odell Beckham Jr. got involved. He had a solid game.
Yeah.
He showed, you know, the high-end talent that he has. The Browns didn't get much going down the field. It was mostly short and intermediate
routes. The only really down-the-field play they had was early in the game on the first drive with the Higgins play, which scored the first touchdown. Or led up to the first touchdown. But
I think, you know, I think a lot of, you know, big shock here, a lot of Browns fans are panicking. And I think it does throw, you know, some cold water on all the hype. And I think a lot of people,
understatement.
A lot of teams and players around the league are like really like angry the Browns are being hyped up, which I don't really understand it. I mean, I understand that you know, you don't want to pronounce a team as great before they've proven anything, but I don't understand what the Browns have really done to anybody over the past years except lose games. But I think
there was a lot of talk, and I think that's what made some – and a lot of people were like, oh, the Browns are going to roll over the Titans and stuff like that. And those guys, especially the Titans, did not take kindly to that, and they came in and promptly whipped our butts for a solid – 48 for a solid probably 60 minutes of that game. Most of that game, except for the defense, you know, and the Browns being able to move the ball. I mean, the Titans hit our funny bone every single time they needed to.
Was there anything about this game that didn't go well for the Browns besides the insane amount of penalties?
Well, I mean, the offensive line is trash.
So anything about this game that you're really shocked happened? Because I think for me, most of the things that went bad for the Browns, besides the turnovers and besides the penalties, are pretty much things we could have expected. Like you said, the offensive line.
I don't think it's really a net revelation.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think Nick Chubb wasn't established enough early on. I think they gave him a lot of run later in the game, but early on it was just pass, 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 pass. And I get that I get that the Browns want to establish something different from the past when it used to be run, run, pass the first three downs, and it was always like third and nine. But you have to get some type of running in those situations, and that's where coaching comes in, and that's where Freddie comes in, because it comes into things like doing different personnel sets. And the Browns ran mostly three wide receiver sets, and that usually signifies pass, but they didn't run out of those three wide receiver sets very often. And that's a big problem, because if you're going to run out of passing formations, you have to be able to do that effectively, because those are usually – that means you're spreading the defense out and making it so they can't stack people in the box against Nick Chubb. But early in the game, Nick Chubb just wasn't getting carries, and every time he was doing what he did last year, breaking tackles and getting another 2 or 3 yards and making a 2 yard gain into a 5 or 6 yard gain.
Yeah, the Browns had a lot of success last year out of two tight end sets, even three tight end sets.
Yeah, they did a lot of stuff.
The Browns had a lot of kind of power formations last year, and a lot of kind of, you know, I want to say simpler reads. I'm not a super football expert, but obviously when you only have, you know, one or two wide receivers, it's a little more clear what the play is going to be. And I think spreading the field with Baker Mayfield made sense, because we've got Baker Mayfield, we've got Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, Njoku, Higgins. We have a lot of weapons. That's true. But last year, the Browns had a lot of success doing things that were not really what they did on Sunday. And so I think it's going to be really interesting to see going forward if the Browns go back to some of that, despite the fact that, yes, they don't have as good an offensive line as they had last year, but they have better, you know, receiver talent, but they had a lot of success doing that last year. So it's kind of going to be that give and pull with Freddie Kitchens and the offensive coaching staff of, well, do we let the three wide receivers go out there? Do we let Baker basically, you know, run shotgun all day? Or do we go back to a little bit more of what worked for us last year? And I think that, in theory, with the Titans being a more physical team, spreading it out made some sense. But the Titans have such a great secondary and a solid pass rush that now, looking back, of course, hindsight's 20/20, but I'm not really sure the game plan made a lot of sense.
Well, there's a couple things. Because they didn't establish Nick Chubb as much early in the game, the threat of play action was not there as often. And Baker Mayfield thrived off of play action last year, being able to do the fake and slow down that pass rush, because that offensive line does need some help. And pass, if you can establish the run, which that the line did do a good job of establishing the run when they actually ran the ball. I mean, if you can do that, and then you can get things to make the play action. And then also the personnel sets, they matter to an extent, but at the same time, you need to be multiple in how you run things out of those sets. If you're going to run three wide receiver sets, you can't just drop back and pass every time. Or if you're going to drop back and pass, you need to change up how the receivers are set up. You need to change up where they are on the field. You need to change. And if you're running two receiver sets, you can still put a running back in the slot. You can still put a tight end out in the slot. They didn't do any of those things. They kept everything in line because they were so worried about helping the offensive line. But they didn't try to do anything else to confuse the team. They were running very vanilla three wide receiver sets, and they were just kind of running a lot of, okay, Odell, you run a comeback, or Odell, you run a quick slant to get out in space, or Jarvis Landry, let's get you in the backfield. Like early on in the game, like the first drive, they had a lot of creativity. The
scripted plays, yeah.
Yeah, but once they got past those scripted plays, it was just kind of like, all right, we're just going to drop back into the three wide receiver set and throw the ball. It's like, okay, well, you're literally telling them exactly what you're going to do, and that means they can pin their ears back and go after the quarterback with a suspect offensive line, to put it lightly. That's just, that feeds right into the Titans' advantage there.
So Todd Monken, was the coordinator for the Bucks last year.
Yep, and they threw a lot out of three wide receiver sets.
And their offensive line wasn't that great, and their quarterback committed a lot of turnovers.
Yep.
And that doesn't mean that's going to keep happening for the Browns. But, and you know, Todd Monken's, you know, a well-known, respected coordinator. Right. And you and I were both excited to have his kind of prowess of the, you know, three wide receiver passing game combined with Freddie Kitchens' more old-school background. But I think now after week one, you do have to start to question how well those two styles are going to mesh. Because you're not going to overreact week one and say, oh no, the sky is falling. These guys' styles aren't going to go well together. It's not going to happen. But I do think it's a fair question to ask when the Browns had so much success last year and pretty much abandoned almost every way they had success last year to run this new offense.
Outside of that first drive when they had the scripted plays, they really kind of went away from a lot of, you know, obviously you want to change up and do a little bit of different things because you don't want the teams to know everything you're doing. But at the same time, they basically knew what they were doing every time. When you have three wide receivers out there, you're not establishing the run and you're just dropping back to pass without any play action. Yeah, those, that suspect offensive line is going to get exposed, especially once Greg Robinson got kicked out of the game and Kendall Lamb got hurt. You were down to Bobby McRae playing right tackle, Chris Hubbard playing left tackle, like I said, and that's going to and then when our edges are that bad and they have good pass rushers, Cameron Wake's a timeless guy, and then they still had, I think it was Derek Morgan and a couple other guys, that's going to happen.
Well, and that's another thing that's clear is the Browns can't afford to have a lot of offensive line injuries.
Especially offensive tackles. They are not deep at offensive tackle. They had three.
Yeah.
And two of them got kicked out of the game, and the one that was left was Chris Hubbard.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah, so
defensively, though.
Defensively, they weren't bad. I mean, the defense gave up late in the game. Demarius Randall totally gave up on that 75-yard screen touchdown that basically sealed the game for Tennessee.
He also gave up a big play early on because they were running a single high safety look, no safety help behind him, and all he had to do was pick the other way, and he went the complete opposite way, despite the fact that no receivers were in that vicinity. And he had to have seen that his cornerback was getting beat. All he had to do was go over to that side. He probably would have picked that ball off.
Randall had an incredible first few games for the Browns last year. And then the second half of the year, he was kind of hurt and run down and didn't play as well.
Yeah, he played well in certain games.
And he has not really shown extended success as an NFL starter. And he's going for a new contract. And this whole offseason, he was tweeting like, you know, dollar signs because of all the contracts that these top free agent safeties are getting.
He was also talking more than almost anybody on our team.
Yes, and I think that he still has a lot to prove.
Right.
And, I you know, he's going to have to play a lot better, no shit, to get a new contract. But, yeah, that was an issue. I mean, the pass rush was pretty solid. I wouldn't expect the secondary to struggle like this as much, considering the talent they have there.
Yeah.
The pass rush was good. I think Miles Garrett had two sacks.
And Olivier Vernon was chasing Marcus Mariota around a lot. Yeah. He was really good. He was establishing things really well. I even think Okungbo played pretty well.
Yeah, Richardson's a question mark.
Richardson, he sometimes gets too aggressive in how he pass rushes. So sometimes but at the same time, I mean, the Browns' run defense was actually doing pretty well along with that pass rush. And those defensive linemen were holding their contain pretty well, honestly.
Yeah.
So the pass rush itself did its job, but again, there was
penalties.
It was penalties, and also there were so few opportunities to drop back because A, that's not how the Titans play, and B, when the Browns were behind the eight ball and they were struggling with everything, then the Titans are just like, okay, well, we don't have to pass the ball. Clearly what we're doing is working. They're going to keep beating themselves. Let's just run the ball. And Derrick Henry got stronger as the game went along, especially after that 75-yard touchdown, which, again, Randall completely gave up on, and that was inexcusable that he did that. That was right after the Browns had gone down the field, scored a touchdown, and made it a two-point game. And then right immediately, one play, 75 yards, and then the game immediately never was the same again.
A rookie kicker missed an extra point.
I
thought we had cut Greg Joseph, but I guess he's still on the team. it was his first kick in the NFL in a real game. He made his next two kicks. We'll see. I'm not going to panic about it yet. It was his first kick. I'm willing to give him one mulligan, but if he missed another extra point, then it's going to start to be, you know, very concerning.
Yeah. But Jamie Gilligan, the Scottish Hammer. Yeah,
Jamie Gilligan had his first punt was not good, which he again got, was his first punt.
And he got lucky because it bounced so well.
But Gilligan had a really good game overall, and he's looking like he could be a strong punter for quite a while.
I mean, he pinned him inside the 20-yard line, which for me personally, that was a big concern.
Because, you're just hoping he doesn't just kick it in the end zone.
Yeah, because Britton Colquitt was really good at that when he was with the Browns. He didn't have the biggest leg. He still had a pretty good leg, but he was good at pinning people deep and making it so they couldn't return the ball. And Gillen did that for a lot of the game. He gave the Browns a chance and to flip the field. But again, the penalties and the undisciplined stuff that happened on both sides of the ball.
Dontrell Hilliard running the ball out of the end zone and getting like barely back to 25 getting penalties.
No, every time he would get past the 25, it's just then the problem is the penalties.
Because the problem is if you're turning out of the end zone, there's almost no upside because the percentage chance that you're going to get more than a couple yards past the 25 is very low.
And there's the
it's much lower than the percentage chance that you're going to get a penalty.
Yeah.
And we thought we were leaving this crap in the past with the Browns, but week one it was ugly. And, you know, Mike Prefer is known as one of the better special teams coordinators in the NFL, so I expect him to fix it, but it was frustrating to see the same old crap, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, we were also frustrated with Steve Wilks and kind of the way he handled things for the defense throughout the game, but at the end of the day...
As long as they play better next week, a lot of this stuff is going to be a one-week thing, hopefully, you know?
Yeah.
So...
It all comes back on Freddie Kitchens, though, because Freddie Kitchens, I don't know if he told them to be too physical or if he didn't interpret the rules correctly the way that they were happening, but the Browns were being overly physical and they were being under-disciplined, and I feel like part of that has to do with Freddie because he wanted them to play physical. He didn't want them to back down, but they were doing a lot of stupid things, like I said earlier, pushing the quarterback over when it was done, holding on pointless things, you know, doing stupid penalties on defense and offense along with special teams. So he is the person where the buck stops with, and even he said himself he has to call better plays. That's great, Freddie, but at the same time, you didn't really talk about the rest of the team as much as you needed to. You're the head coach of the team. You need to be willing to handle everything because at the end of the day, you're going to be the one that is going to be on the chopping block if this season goes south and the team continues to look undisciplined and is not playing well.
Yeah, everyone's coming for Freddie's head already.
I'm not saying he needs to be fired, but at the same time, he has to understand that you have to, for a team to succeed in the NFL, and I don't know if he didn't, if it was either just a one-off thing or if he didn't, if his message got misconstrued. The team has to be more disciplined. It's that simple. The Browns would have been in the game had it not been for all the penalties. All the other issues they were having, the offensive line issues, if they weren't having penalties constantly throughout the game, they would have had a much, much better chance to win that game.
Yeah, obviously this all comes down to Freddie at the end of the day. He's a first-time NFL head coach, and there were some things on Sunday that were kind of concerning for me. I'm not going to write the book on Freddie Kitchens after one game or probably even one season, but going play action from his own 2-yard line when the pass rush had been really good all day didn't make any goddamn sense.
And the process hurt one of his tackles.
Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of coincidental, but I mean, it's just not a smart move. You know what I mean? The risk is not that it is so high and the reward's not that great. And overall, I just didn't think his decision making was that great in the day, and you know, we'll see. It's a time will tell thing. It's a 1 week thing. His play calling was fine for the first half. I thought we talked about the formations and all that. We'll have to see how much that changes.
Yeah,
I'm not going to overreact too much again to someone's first NFL game as a head coach, but it is a question for sure as to whether he can handle an entire team as opposed to just running backs or even just an offense, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's like we've said before. There's a lot of new coaches, a lot of players. I mean, they showed a graphic. Only 7 players are left from that 53-man roster 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's
a lot of new players, and it's a new system. They brought in a lot of new coaches that are very highly acclaimed, but they haven't had a full toolbox to work with literally the entire offseason.
One other thing that drove me crazy about Freddie Kitchens is when the game was already – the final score
Chubb shouldn't have been getting those carries at the
end. He left Baker Mayfield in for another drive to get pounded, and he hurt his hand a little bit, and he's fine, but it's like, dude, the game is out of reach. Get your freaking quarterback out of the game. And also, you know, the last drive of the game, he gave Nick Chubb 3 carries to run the clock out. It's like, dude, why are you using your bell cow running back, putting wear and tear on him to run the clock out in a game you're down 30? That's one of those things where the process makes no sense at all, and it makes me worried about his decision-making going forward.
Because what happens if Baker gets hurt, season's over. And if Chubb gets hurt,
it just doesn't make sense. There's no rationalization to why maybe he was thinking we can get the offense in a rhythm headed into the next week, but you're going to have a whole new set of plays, a whole new – it just doesn't
– Yeah, you're going to have a new game plan.
And, you know, again, it doesn't mean Freddie Kitchens is not going to be a good head coach. It's just – when you see glaringly bad choices being made by the head coach,
it's a little bit
concerning. Your instinct as a Browns fan is, oh, shit, here we go again. You know what I mean? But such as life. The Titans are a good team.
They were very highly underestimated by clearly, a lot of Browns fans.
They were 9-7 the last 3 years. They're not a joke. They're a good team. Their team is not going to beat themselves.
Yeah.
The line in this game was Browns -5.5, which generally the home team gets -3. So I think that was a little bit of an overreaction. So I think all in all, what this shows is the Browns were hyped up, and a lot of teams thought the team was almost invincible already. And end of the day, like, becoming a legitimate winning football team is a lot harder than just going and signing some players and getting a new coach. It takes time. It takes a lot of hard work and discipline, and it's not going to happen overnight. And you can't just assume that because the talent is there, it's all going to happen. It may and it may not. I'm right. not going to sit here and say that I don't think the Browns have a chance to playoffs, but this was definitely some cold water for sure.
Yeah, it just showed a lot of early onset issues that hopefully the coaching staff is able to fix. Because if you are getting double-digit penalties every game, I guarantee you're not going to have a winning record. It's just that simple.
The Browns better come out next week and look a hell of a lot different.
They better look way more disciplined.
Or else the pitchforks are going to be out. We'll talk about next week after one break.
They look like a high school
team. That's right, Graham. They look like a high school team. We were coming back from great break, and I hit the button a little too soon. But you know what? I'm leaving it in. Graham was saying under his breath,
they look like a high school team.
And they did.
They were just – they had no discipline whatsoever. And going into this week against the Jets – they don't really have any excuses at this point because
the Jets are missing Sam Darnold.
Mono. Nice. Yeah.
They're missing Quinnen Williams, CJ Mosley.
Potentially Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah. So basically the Jets are missing most of their best players, including their quarterback. Their backup is Trevor Siemian, who is not a good NFL quarterback.
Nope. No, he is not.
It's a road game. Yes. The Jets still have some talent. Yes. But a depleted Jets team should be no match for the Browns with the talent the Browns have. Angry coming off that week one loss.
Yeah.
Hopefully angry for the Browns doesn't mean they get four players ejected this week instead of one. But
or
we'll see.
They just start out the drive, or they start off the day with just four penalties trying to hit the guy.
We were going to do more of a breakdown about the Jets as a team, but quite frankly, if the Jets are missing Sam Darnold, Quinnen Williams, and CJ Mosley, they're not a team that's even worth breaking down. They're a team that's worth beating. And there's really nothing to even discuss about it, because if the Jets
they lost
literally
the Bills last week.
The majority of their best players.
Yeah.
If the Browns can't win that game, the Browns, and this is as close to a must-win game as it can get early in the season. And also, the next few weeks, the Browns play the Rams, at the Ravens, at the 49ers, the Seahawks, at the Patriots, at the Broncos.
That's a tough stretch.
If the Browns lose this Jets game, you're staring at 2-6, something like that.
Yeah.
If the Browns want to have any hope of justifying the hope coming into the season, you have to beat this Jets team, and you have to do it. You just got to go beat them.
And the defense –
it can't happen again, you know?
Even when the defense was healthy, it still played in perfectly to the Browns' offense. The Jets do not have good cornerback play. They do not have a good pass rush. And other than their linebackers, they were really kind of a lackluster defense, other than Jamal Adams and C.J. Mosley and the defensive line. But if Quinnen Williams is hurt and it's just Leonard Williams up there, that's one less person to worry about. C.J. Mosley is the leader of that front seven. And then if it's just Jamal Adams you have to worry about, I believe in Odell Beckham being able to beat Tremaine Johnson and then Jarvis Landry and Rashard Higgins if he does play, or even Damian Ratley if he's the one that beats the third receiver. I trust those guys to be able to beat that Jets secondary, because that Jets secondary is not good.
So if you...
And their offensive line's not good, so that'll help even more with the pass rush.
It's just Trevor Siemian. That's all you got to say, really. It's not like Trevor Siemian playing with the Patriots roster. It's Trevor Siemian playing with the Jets roster.
Yeah.
This should be an easy win.
They lost to the Bills last week. Now, granted, the Bills aren't a bad team, but at the same time, they lost to the Bills, a team that had very bad offense.
Four turnovers for the Bills, and they still,
and the they Jets still won the game.
So with their starting quarterback.
Yes.
Yes.
So Darnold had an okay game, and he's not playing. And Darnold would have at least made this game more interesting, because he has a much higher ceiling than Trevor Siemian does. There's a much better chance that he was going to be able to throw the ball downfield to Robbie Anderson or get Quincy Enunwa in space. That's not happening with Trevor Siemian. He does not have a good arm, and that was shown time and time again when he played in Denver.
Also, Quincy Enunwa was out for the year, too.
Yeah, so Quincy Enunwa got hurt as well. So they're down to nothing.
If you're looking at the Jets roster now, they're a better run defense than they are a pass defense.
Yeah.
So we just talked about earlier how the Browns need to kind of maybe get back to what they did last year to a degree. If you're an offensive coordinator, or if you're Freddie Kitchens, Graham, going into this week, knowing that you played pretty poorly last week out of three wide receiver sets, and yet the Jets' weakness is probably mostly the passing game. How would you approach the game plan, and how would you approach balancing what you did well last year to what you're hoping to do well this year?
I was just going to say that word. It's all about balance when it comes to that. Yes, we can run three wide receiver sets against them, but at the same time, you need to be more multiple in your personnel and also how you handle that personnel. Those two tight end sets sometimes, you know, maybe you're going to have, you know, David Njoku lining up in the slot. So technically it's two tight ends, but you could have Njoku in the slot. I don't understand why that has not become a bigger thing in the Browns offense, because he is a big target that needs space, and his drop issues are a little bit more when he's in traffic. When he's out and about and he has free space, we've seen him catch the ball. It's in traffic, and granted, he did catch a touchdown in traffic this past week, and I will always stand for Njoku because of his athletic ability and his ability to get out in space.
That's your boy.
But at the same time, if he can get out in space and he isn't getting clocked every time he's touching the ball, stop putting him in line where you know he's not a good blocker and put him out wide sometimes. You need to be more multiple. Put a running back out in the slot. Put another running back in the backfield. Put a tight end in the slot or out wide. You could put Njoku all the way on the wide and put Beckham in the slot. There's a lot of different things you could do. And you could also have a bunch formation where you have Jarvis Landry. A bunch formation, for those who don't know, is one receiver on the line of scrimmage and two behind him. You could have Njoku at the top. You could have Beckham and Landry behind him, running different routes, running different combinations. You have all this talent, and you're facing a team that it fits what you're doing, but you have to balance it. You can't run whatever the percent was of three wide receiver sets last week. It was in the 89%. Yeah, almost 90%. You can't do that the entire game and expect to win, because that is predictable. They need to come out with a game script that is balanced. If Nick Chubb doesn't have double-digit touches by the end of the first half, that is a problem. That is a major problem, and that is something that at that point, that becomes an issue of, is Freddie calling plays the right way? Does Todd Monken need to get involved at some point when it comes to the plays? Or is Todd Monken have too much influence? We don't know. We don't know how much of an influence Monken has with Freddie Kitchens when it comes to calling plays. What I do know is if the Browns aren't more unpredictable and more things in their sets, run more motion, things like that, they're not going to be successful against many teams they play. They might be able to get away with it against the Jets because, like you said, they're getting decimated. They look like a team that's playing at the end of the year as opposed to the beginning of the year with injuries. But if you can't do that and you can't change that up and you just ran the same stuff as before, at that point, that's when it comes, major criticisms come into play. If you're running the same things as before that aren't working all the time, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, clearly the Browns have been humbled, or at least they better have been humbled.
They better have been.
And the Jets are well below the Titans in terms of talent. What would you expect to happen on Monday night? Browns to win.
Yeah, I mean, part of me is like,
I don't know how I can think about it any other way, because the Browns have vastly more talent than the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, part of me is like, the Browns should not get any type of leeway after what they did last week when they literally just completely crapped themselves and gave up at the very end. But at the same time, they have way more talent. They have a week where they knew that last week they played, they were absolutely horrible. If they don't get better from that point, I don't know what to tell you. Like,
it's a make or break game for the Browns.
The fact that it's a week two make or break game shows you how poorly the Browns played in week one.
Yeah.
Browns fans would not be this upset, including myself, had they played a 24-13 or 20, something close like that, and the penalties were not nearly as what they were. If the Browns were not getting penalized and they were just having issues, then it would just be a question of, okay, well, what's happening in terms of schemes? What's happening in terms of how they're doing it? But last week, it literally was just the Browns could not get out of their own way. We couldn't get out of our own way, and we were still within 2 points at the end of the third quarter, and we couldn't do it.
The good news is it was 1 week. The Steelers lost by almost 30 points.
Yeah, they lost by they lost by 30 exactly. It was 33-3.
The Jets are not good and are depleted.
And we get an extra day, so that's nice as well. News.
And the Browns, I expect them to win Monday, and then from there we can discuss.
Not doing scores until I see the Browns again, until I see the Browns really get on a run when it comes to how they play. Because last week I said 28-20 Browns. I gave the Titans credit too. I didn't think, like a lot of Browns fans, the Titans were going to get destroyed. Well, but at the same time, I thought the Browns could win a close game against that team, and they didn't. So I'm not picking scores anymore until further notice, just because at that point, you're just kind of saying, yeah, the Browns are going to drill everybody. I think the Browns are going to win this game. I don't know if they're going to cover that -6 that is happening right now. I would think they have a good chance because it's Trevor Siemian, but I expect the Browns to win, but at the same time, I'm not expecting them to blow out this Jets team.
I expect the Browns to win. If they do, it's business as usual. At least it better be for this team. They can't get too high off a win. Yeah. If they lose, it's Armageddon.
Yeah, if they lose next week, it's going to be a lot more of an interesting podcast. Let's just say
Graham and Olam will have a red and blue coming up the next couple days here. Graham and I will be back to discuss the Browns next week after hopefully they beat the Jets and take care of business like big boys should.
Yeah.
Check us out. I'm at @abaker_sports on Twitter. Graham is at @gtmohan.
Yep.
Tree City Records, at Tree City Records on Twitter. That's the group. We appreciate everyone for listening, and hopefully we're talking to you next week after a Browns win.
Yep, thank you so much.
They played like high schoolers, man.
They did.